Good morning, class.
Good morning, Brother Keith.
Hi, I'm Keith Moore, and we welcome you to Faith School. Faith School is the place where my spirit is fed, where my faith grows stronger, and where I learn how to be an overcomer. Nothing's too hard for the Lord. And all things are possible to him that believes, even if there's something that's really been causing you problems for years. It is overcomable.
Amen.
It is beatable. The enemy will try to convince you, oh, it's impossible. You can never be free from that. You can never get past that. Do not let those words come out of your mouth. That's why he pushes you so hard with these thoughts. He wants you to affirm it, to declare it, so that wrong spirits have a right to enforce it in your life. No, you don't want to agree with the devil. You want to agree with your God.
Amen.
You want to agree with the Lord of your life, Jesus. So you want to say what he says. And he never said you couldn't do it. He never said it was impossible to you. So say it out loud, I have faith.
I have faith.
In the Lord my God.
In the Lord my God.
And I can.
And I can.
Overcome.
Overcome.
I can. Do all things.
Do all things.
Through Christ.
Through Christ.
Who strengthens me.
Who strengthens me.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
That's how you talk. Every day, everywhere. Yes. Father, we come before you today, all of us together. Joining our faith and touching this, asking you for the utterance, the anointing, the grace, the direction, the help, as only you can do it. We ask for it for us all in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you.
For a number of weeks now, we've been on a series that we're calling Faith for Provision. And again, faith comes by what you hear. And we want to hear what God has said about being our provider, about taking care of us materially, financially, those kind of things. Is He God, our God, in every area of our life?
Yes. Yes.
Not just praying and studying the Bible, reading the Bible, but every area. Is he our God at work?
Yes.
Is he our God at school? Is he
yes.
Is he our God when it's time to pay bills?
And
yes.
Every area of our life should be submitted to his lordship. Well, what is his will? If it's really his will for us to be broke and to be poor, if that pleases him somehow, well, quit playing with it and be broke. Right? See? But see, people don't really believe that. They'll say stuff like that sitting on the church seat on Sunday, but then all through the week, they're trying to make as much money as they can.
Right.
Well, same thing with healing. Well, it might not be God's will to heal you of that. Well, then why are you going to the doctor? Right? Why are you seeking procedures and taking medicines and trying to get, if it's the will of God for you to have it, quit trying to get rid of it. Or believe the truth.
Yes.
It never was his will,
yes.
Right, for you to be broke. It never was his will for you to be sick. So you're entirely right to fight it with everything that you know of. Right?
Yes.
You should fight against sickness.
Yes.
Always. You should fight against poverty.
Yes.
Always. Yes. If you can do better, do better. Let's step up. And with God's help, you can.
Yes.
So we're not just, you know, taking your opinion or my opinion for this. We're looking to the scriptures. We're looking to the Bible. And so we've been going one by one for 30 reasons from scripture. And we started with the Lord is our shepherd, number one. I shall not lack, I shall not want. And we're all the way down now to number 16 in our study. We are sure. Abundant provision is always God's will for us all because of the promised land. God promised Abraham, his covenant friend and partner, that his seed, his descendants, would come out of Egypt and that he had a place that he had personally selected for them. a good place. A land that flowed with milk and honey. A pleasant land. A land where there would be no lack or want of anything. How many think the Garden of Eden was like that?
Yes.
Yeah, absolutely. The Garden of Eden, Adam and Eve, was perfect. It was perfect. It was not too hot. It was not too cold. It was not too dry. It was not too wet. They never went hungry. They never were concerned about, are we going to starve? Are we going to have something to eat? God would not create a place like that. That's not Him. When He creates something, everything has been considered. Everything has been thought of and prepared for. He knows the end from the beginning and everything in between. And when He made everything and He looked at it, and He said, "Behold, it is good." And then He said, "That's good." And then He said, "It's good." He looked at all. He said, "Behold, it is very
good."
Is God exaggerating or is He missing something? It was only after Adam and Eve's sin and failure and fall, and then the resultant curse came in and death came in. It was only then that you begin to see lack, and that's part of the curse, and want. Lack, want, poverty, not having enough has never been the will of God for anybody, and it never will be. Now, if you are unsure about that, don't just say, "Well, preacher, I don't know if I agree with you or not. This ain't about me." What about the Bible? Right? And that's why we're given one by one 30 great truths from the Scripture. And there are many more. But the Bible said, "In the mouth of two or three witnesses, let every word be established." And the word should carry more weight than what you think. Huh? Or than what your parents thought, our grandparents thought, or what your denomination thought.
Amen.
Huh?
Yeah.
The word should carry more weight. Said out loud, the written word of God.
The anointed word of God
is first place in my life.
Is final authority
for everything
in my life.
If you mean that, and you practice that, it will radically change your life. It did Phyllis and mine, my wife and myself, back some 40 plus years ago when we made that decision. And you know, I grew up around church and she grew up around church, but a lot of it was tradition. We didn't know the difference. But when we realized you're supposed to make this book first place in everything you think and do, and this word, the final thing, it didn't matter what I thought. When I find out what He says about it, that's it. We're going with what He said.
Amen.
Right?
Yes.
It doesn't matter what the world says, what any denomination group says. This is final authority.
Amen.
When we made that commitment in our life, our whole lives changed. I mean, and it's still just been on an upward trajectory every year since then. And I believe it'll continue until we blast out of here on our way to heaven.
Amen.
And it's not just for us. It's for all who will believe.
Yes.
Is that you?
Yes.
So what do we believe about provision, about material things? We believe what He said in His word. So let's continue talking about the promised land today. Go with me, if you would, to the book of Numbers. The 13th chapter. Now, we're going to get into something now that is, we have to do some self-examination as we go with this. We talked a little bit about it on yesterday's class. How that there is a restriction on how good people believe God is. Many will say God's a good God, but they don't really completely believe that. You can tell, you just listen to them the rest of the day, the next few days, and things will come out of their mouth. And they'll say, they'll try to attribute people being killed in a car wreck to God. Well, it was His mysterious plan. Was it?
Yeah.
Is people being killed in a car wreck a good thing? And people will say, well, you know, it could be good and you just don't know. Listen, if we can't tell the difference between good and bad, then we shouldn't be held accountable for doing bad. Because we don't know the difference. Y'all with me or not?
Yes, sir.
Now see, that don't cut it. That, right? That don't work. Are we held accountable for doing bad when we know to do good?
Yes.
Well, that's why we have to repent. Right? If we don't know the difference between good and bad, we shouldn't have to repent. No, God has given us enough understanding to know the difference. And we know the difference between good and bad in these kind of situations. Healing is good.
Right.
Sickness is bad.
Yes.
Hmm? People say, well, yeah, but sometimes, you know, I know it looks like a curse, but it could be a blessing in disguise. No, it's either good or it's not. Does God use an evil thing to teach us and train us? Then we should be accepting of evil because it's God's mysterious will. And much of the church world is confused. Just these very things, convoluted. But the truth is, there's good and there's bad. And they are not working together. Hmm? And a curse is a curse, was a curse, will always be a curse, is never a blessing in disguise or otherwise.
Amen.
If it's bad, it's bad.
Right.
And a blessing is a blessing.
Yes.
It'd never be a curse in disguise.
Exactly.
Right?
Yes.
No, it's the enemy that has worked this complication, confusion. Well, it's just beyond your understanding, and I know it looks bad, but God's, you know, making all of it to work out for good. Somebody said, well, isn't that a scripture? It's pulling it out of context. It's well, you know, everything works for the good. The Bible did not say that. No, sir, no, ma'am. It said all things work together for good to those who love Him and are called according to His purpose. Does everybody on the planet love Him?
No.
Then everything is not working out for their good. And even Christians that are ignoring God and going their own way in rebellion, you know, they're going to go through things they should have never gone through. And it's not part of the mysterious plan of God. It's the results of missing God and disobedience. Thank God you can repent.
Yes.
Get back on track.
Yes.
Right? Get in the right place.
Yes.
And in the right blessings. So look with me, if you would, in Numbers, like we mentioned, the 13th chapter. Now, Numbers 13 and 14 is a real pivotal place in the account of where God brought His people out of Egyptian bondage, and the plan was to take them to Canaan's land. They were to go through the wilderness for a little while and learn some valuable lessons about trust and the obedience of faith. And if you'll see, he taught them things. The manna test was a great example of this. Remember this?
Mm-hmm.
He brought them bread out of the sky, but he gave them instructions. He said, don't save it overnight. So what'd they do?
Saved
it overnight, and it bred worms and stank. And we laugh, but is it funny?
No.
It ain't funny. The Lord told you don't do something. And you went straight and did it. Is there a problem with this?
Yes.
Now I'm going to jump ahead. This is exactly why they spent 40 years in the desert and died young and died wrong in the desert. Hmm? Because they would not do what they were told to do. And God won't make you. He will not make you. He will let you defy Him and rebel. He will let you ignore Him. But it will cost you. And it's not His will. But He's not going to control you. So He said, don't save it. Don't save it. And they saved it. Then He said, on the Sabbath day, I'm going to give you twice what you normally got. Guess what? Twice. But stay in on the Sabbath. Don't go out tomorrow. There won't be any out there. So what'd they do? They went out to get some. And lo and behold, there was none there. They didn't need it. He gave them twice the day before. Tell me, what's the problem with this?
Disobedience.
Yeah, but why disobedience? They didn't trust him. Are y'all with me? The real issue was they did not trust him. Disobedience reveals distrust. And that's the real issue. And he could not get them to trust him. And one of the ways that he that was so involved in this, one of the things, was to trust in his goodness. This was the very thing. Trusting in his goodness. Of course, in his ability, but also in his goodness. You must not separate these. Hold your place here in Numbers. Go to the New Testament, to the book of Hebrews, the 11th chapter. The great faith chapter, Hebrews 11. This is where, in verse 6, where he says, without faith, it's impossible to please him. Without faith, it is impossible to please him, to please God. Now notice the next phrases. For. So now he's giving you application in detail of what faith that pleases him is. For he that comes to God must believe. It's not optional. You must do this in order to come successfully to God and work with him. If you don't do it, it's not going to work. You must believe. And then he mentions two things. Two things you have to believe. Number one, that he is. Remember, he said, I am that I am. He's the great I am. Well, what do you mean believe that he is? Well, you got to believe that God exists. You got to believe that God is real. And you got to believe that God is God. Right? And if he's God, he knows it all. He can do it all. Right?
Yes.
So you must believe in the existence of God and in the knowledge of God and wisdom of God, in the ability of God. You must believe God is and God can.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm? But you must not stop there. That alone is not enough. And then this is where many church-going people are. Oh, they'd fight you over, God can do anything. God can do anything. But then you ask, well, will he do this for you? Oh, I just don't know. I mean, you just never know what God's going to do. They're not convinced he would use his power for them. Huh? Maybe he will. Maybe we hope he would. We don't know. Now, see, that's not okay. You didn't read the rest of the verse. You must believe that God is, and what else? You must believe that God is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. You must believe. Doesn't there's a reward, something good or something bad? Huh? You must believe that God is the Almighty, the Creator of the heavens and the earth, the all-knowing, the all-wise, the all-powerful. But you got to go further. I said, you got to go further. You got to believe he's the kind of God that if you'll reach out, he'll reach back. If you'll draw near, he'll draw near to you. If you call on him, he will answer you, and if you seek him, he will respond with something good.
Amen.
Oh, somebody say something good.
Something good.
A reward. Something good.
Something good.
And that's where many church-going people come short. They're not convinced of that. And that requires something of us. The drawing near, the reaching out, the laying hold. The believing we receive. But are you convinced, child of God, that if you draw near to him, he will respond?
Yes.
Will he be there for you?
Yes.
If you call out to him in all sincerity, with all your heart, Will he answer you? Can you count on it?
Yes.
You can count on it. You can count on it. He is a rewarder, a responder. He does good things
Amen.
For those that seek him.
Amen.
Oh, somebody say, thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
And that he was unable to convince that first generation of Israelites that came out of Egypt of this. He was unable to. He wasn't going to force them. He did all kind of things to demonstrate it. Should have been convincing. But that's the thing. Faith is a choice.
Yes.
Say it out loud. Faith.
Faith.
Believing.
Is a choice.
You'll hear sometimes people say, well, I'm sorry, I just can't believe that. That's not true. You can believe anything you choose to believe. People believe bizarre stuff.
Yeah.
Is that right? The stuff that makes no sense at all, proving you can believe anything.
Yes.
It's a choice.
Yes.
It's simply a choice. It's not based on something you can prove or something you can see or feel. That's what faith's the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So it's a choice. Mm-hmm. Is God telling you something that might just, like we say, blow your mind, but you say, hey, he knows what he's talking about, so I believe it. I just choose to believe it. We weren't there at the tomb where Jesus raised from the dead, but we're told that he did.
Mm-hmm.
I believe it.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
It's a choice. We weren't there. We didn't know Joseph and Mary personally. We weren't there at the stable where he was born or to know that Mary actually was a virgin that conceived. But I don't have to be there. I believe it.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
And we don't have to know how and from where heaven is and when Jesus is coming and the trumpet sound and the dead's going to rise and we're going to be changed and caught up together with him. But I'm getting ready.
Yes.
Is that right? I believe it. I believe it. It's a choice. Simply a choice. You can believe it too if you choose to. But if you don't choose to believe his goodness, you disqualify yourself from experiencing it. And that is sad. That's one of the saddest things there is. And it displeases God. It grieves him. But he has no other choice but to force you to do something against your will, which he will not do. He will not do. That make him like the enemy. Right?
Yes.
The enemy's a manipulator, a coercer, a forcer. God's not. His spirit is not. So Numbers 13. What happened is God brought his people out of Egyptian bondage. Did the miracle at the Red Sea. Changed the waters of Marah. Miracle after miracle. And eventually they get to this place at Kadesh Barnea, which is the border of the lands that God said he had found for them and chosen for them. They are up to the point to actually possess the lands. They're right there. So they sent 12 spies in to see what was there, and they spied out the land, saw what was there, and they came back. And you remember they had the giant cluster of grapes between, you know, on the rod. And they brought back some of the, I don't know, pomegranates and all the stuff. And they said, sure, truly, it is a good land. Mm-hmm. Well, surprise, surprise. God tells the truth, right?
Yeah.
This land is something, man. I mean, it's, look at these grapes. They are just, you know, above and beyond what we've seen in other places. But, ever heard somebody say that? Yeah, I know the scripture says that. But, but they're giants there. I mean massive, 7, 8, 9, 10 foot tall warriors. there's cities walled up to heaven. You know, unbelief exaggerates too. It does. You know, worst thing you ever, I ain't never seen anything worse in my life. It was the most awful thing in the world. You know, yeah, yeah, right. No. Verse 20. They went in to see what the land was, whether it was fat or lean, if there's woods there or not. Be of good courage, bring of the fruit of the land. Now the time was the time of the first ripe grapes. Verse 23, they came to the brook of Eshcol. They cut down the branch with one of the clusters of grapes and bare it between two on a staff. And they brought of the pomegranates and the figs. Verse 27, they told him, they said, we came to the land where you sent us, and surely it flows with milk and honey, and this is the fruit of it. And Caleb stilled the people before Moses, verse 30, and said, let's go up at once and possess it, because we're well able to overcome it. But the men that went with him said, we are not able to go up against the people, for they're stronger than we. Talk about two completely opposed, right? We can do it. We can get it. What do the other people say? We can't. We can't do it. We can't get it. They saw the same land. They saw the same circumstances. And one of them said, let's go, let's get it. It's ours. They said, no way, there's no way. We can't do it. Verse 32, they brought up an evil report of the land that they had searched. This was a giant failure. Evil report means slander. And they called the good land a bad land. They called the good thing a bad thing. And it cost them enjoying it themselves. Can you see this?
Yeah.
And our time's up for today. Can you believe that? Goes by fast, doesn't it? You got to come back tomorrow. We got to finish this story, right? So say it out loud. I live by faith. I walk by faith. I overcome the world by faith. I am strong in faith, giving glory to God. We'll see you again next time here in Faith School.
I've got a victory living inside.
Thank you for joining us at Faith School. Class is dismissed for today, but you can watch this and other episodes of Faith School free of charge at faithschool.org. For more information, visit our website or call us at 941-702-7390.